want to just say a few words about baptism, what it is, what it signifies. Baptism is the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual reality. So being washed in water, whether it's water that's sprinkled on your head or whether you're immersed in the water, it symbolizes spiritual realities. So in particular, it symbolizes being washed from your sins, being made clean from your sins. And it also symbolizes dying with Christ to the old life and rising with Christ to new life in him. So being united with him in his death and in his resurrection. Now, some churches, including the Church of England, baptize babies who are born into Christian families. And the idea there is that the child is receiving the outward sign in prayerful anticipation that God will in time mercifully grant the inward reality as well. This practice is in line with the Old Testament practice of circumcision. So in the Old Testament, those who were born into the community of God's people, they received the Old Testament sign of membership when they were babies, when they were just 8 days old. And it's also in line with the New Testament practice of baptizing whole households. Now, when a person who's baptized as a child, as a baby, subsequently comes to faith in Christ for themselves, it's right and proper that they make a public affirmation of their faith. So that they don't get baptized again, but they publicly affirm their baptismal vows, their baptismal faith. And they testify to how God has had mercy on them and granted them the spiritual reality that their baptism symbolized. And so Alice and Kenny and Nanopa are going to be affirming their baptismal faith. And Leslie, who hasn't been baptized before, is going to be baptized. And each of them is going to tell us something of what God has been doing in their lives. Now, opinions vary about how much water you should use in baptism, so whether pouring some water on the head or whether fully immersing people. Our options on the barge are fairly limited, so the people who designed the barge didn't include a baptismal pool, and the water outside is a few metres deep, and not to mention the cold and the dead gangsters and all the rest of it that's in there. So I'm simply going to be pouring some water on Leslie's head. But what it symbolizes is what matters. And we do this today mindful that in many countries in the world today, the step that these friends are about to take would be enormously costly to them. They'd be risking everything by going public like this. You have got an insert in your sheet which says baptism on one side and affirmation of baptismal faith on the other. And you'll see there are various bits which you need to say. There are some bits which I say, where it says leader. There are some bits that our friends say here, so where it says candidates or candidates, and bold type, that is them. And there are some bits which says all, and then there's a bit in bold type. And so that is for all of us to say together. And we'll remain seated for this. So we're going to begin with Leslie. With the baptism, and then we'll move on to the affirmations of baptismal faith after that. So I'll invite Leslie to come and join me now. So begin. Is this on? Yeah. So begin with the question on the sheet. So Leslie, do you wish to be baptised?
I do.
If you could just tell us something of what God has been doing in your life. Let's speak into the microphone. Thank you.
I was brought up in a Christian family environment and had a Christian culture. My parents felt it important for their children to go to Sunday school and learn about Jesus, but they didn't really explain why. So as youngsters, my two sisters and I, we would go along with our neighbors to a local church while my parents would stay at home. We didn't go to church as a family. We didn't pray together as a family or read the Bible together as a family. We had one Bible in our house, which was a King James version, which had been given to my dad for my gran. I had no concept or understanding of what being a Christian meant. And as time went by, I had no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. After roughly 4 years, my neighbours moved away, and my sisters and I stopped going to church. Now, a few years later, I was 13 years old, and I made a commitment to Jesus. On that day, my scripture union and my Bible school teacher told us that we were all sinners and that we'd rebelled against God. The only way to be put right with God was to accept Jesus into our lives. She explained that Jesus had to die for my sins to be forgiven. I don't know why, but I felt like she was talking directly to me. And when I was walking home that day, I felt a need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in my life and to pray the prayer that had been given to me in the class. I got home and started doing my chores around the house. And I was hanging up washing in our back garden when I prayed the prayer I was given. And I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and to come into my life. God had called me to be his child. Making that commitment to Jesus changed my life. After this, I started going to church with a friend to learn more about Jesus and how to serve him. It meant building a relationship with Jesus, praying with him every day, and reading his word, repenting of my rebellion against him, and thanking him for his wonderful gift of salvation through his grace. Jesus changed all aspects of my life. Some specifics, he's given me a conscience in that I want to do what is right in God's eyes. In aspects like my language and behavior, I don't swear. At work, when colleagues find things tough and swear, they would apologize to me knowing my reaction. And even on occasion, they would use softer words instead of swear words so they would not offend me. Jesus has given me an enthusiasm for his word and for serving others. I try not to get angry or lose my temper. I don't always succeed. But I keep asking God to mold me and change me and to be more like Jesus. My husband Chris says that Jesus has given me a loving nature, and he's helped me to show kindness and be supportive of Christian brothers and sisters, friends and family in various situations. I trust in Jesus' promise of eternal life and the knowledge that he is in control of my life. His power and his strength has given me an inner strength to face many things that have happened so far in my life, both happy and sad. There is an inner joy that only those things in Christ have. And he's given that to me through his grace. This is a joy that stems from the future hope and the future reality that we will see God face to face in heaven. I have wanted to be baptized for some time, and when the opportunity came, I spoke to Marcus. Now, you might be asking, why have I taken so long to be baptized? Well, previously, we went to a church that practiced infant baptism and confirmation, and they had shied away from adult baptism. And I'd felt that it was out of obedience to God that he's called me to be baptized now and to make the public acknowledgement of my faith and acceptance of Jesus in my life.
Thank you, Leslie. Faith is the gift of God to his people. In baptism, the Lord is adding to our number those whom he is calling. So, people of God, will you welcome Leslie and uphold her in her new life in Christ? In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvellous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. So I've now got 6 questions for Leslie. Therefore I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?
I reject them.
Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil?
I renounce them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour?
I repent them.
Do you turn to Christ as Saviour?
I turn to Christ.
Do you submit to Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ the way, the truth and the life?
I come to Christ.
I'm going to ask Leslie to kneel down now. Leslie, Christ claims you for his own. receive the sign of his cross. Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. Fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil, and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ. Amen. Sir Leslie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Leslie, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. We welcome you into the fellowship of faith. We are children of the same Heavenly Father. We welcome you. Thank you, Leslie. Why don't we give a round of applause? So now I'm going to invite Alice and Kenny and the Noper to join me. Just gather around the microphone. So we've got a couple of questions before they share their stories with us. So we're on affirmation of baptismal faith. Yeah. So have you been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit?
I have.
Are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ?
I am.
We're going to hear their stories now, one by one. So I think Alice is going first, and then Kenny, and then Nanopa.
Okay. I became a Christian about a year and a half ago, and that was when God showed me that I needed to respond to everything he'd done for me through Jesus and to accept Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. God was definitely working in my life way before then, though. In October 2000, I became convinced that God was real and that he had a plan for my life. But it took me 5 years to find out who God really is and to commit myself to him. When I was little, I went to Sunday school. My mum was a Christian and she thought it was very important for us to go and learn about God. So I went there and I had a really faithful teacher. And I learned a lot, and I really believed in God and about all the things I was taught about Jesus. I learned to pray, and I knew that God answered my prayers. But then I got too old for Sunday school. I was probably about 12, and there wasn't anything that followed up from that. So I just stopped going, and I didn't do anything else. And by the time I went to university, I definitely changed my opinions, and I thought God was probably created by man rather than the other way around. At university, I focused a lot on my music. I went along with everything that everyone else was doing, parties, drinking, and I didn't see anything wrong with the way I lived. I thought my life was pretty good. And about a year or so after that, I became disillusioned with where I was going. After a lot of questioning, things kind of came to a head with a sort of epiphany, which it would take a while for me to explain, so I'm not going to go into that, but I really experienced a peace and joy I'd never known before, and it was a really incredible experience, and it changed my life completely, and I felt like I was seeing the world through different eyes. I saw beauty all around me, I felt love for everybody, and I thought, there has to be a God. It just came to me, there has to be a God, and God has done this in my life. The problem was, I knew that God existed, but I didn't know who he was or what he wanted from me. I ended up creating my own ideas about God and thought maybe everyone has to find their own path to him. I started feeling quite isolated because I didn't know anyone who'd had a similar experience, and I felt like it was also a huge burden because I didn't know what I was supposed to do next. I became depressed, I couldn't study, and I finished my degree by failing several of my exams. A year or so later, I was living in Berlin, and I saw an advert on the underground there for an international church, which quoted Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I thought, wow, that sounds great. I'll go along. So I went there and I was really struck by people's love for one another and for me, and by people's belief that the only way to God was through Jesus. So back in London the next year, when I came along to the barge and I was invited to do Christianity Explored, and I thought, wow, this is the chance for me to find out what Christianity is really about. So one thing that really struck me when I was doing Christianity Explored course was who Jesus is. And I think, like I've thought before then, that Jesus wasn't fundamentally different to any one of us. But when I was confronted with the facts in Mark and read for myself all the things that Jesus had done, I realised that Jesus wasn't just a man, that he really was God in human form. It took me a while to figure out my own response to God and to what Jesus had done for me. I knew what it should be, but it wasn't until I went along to the Women's Convention in October 2005 that I really felt challenged. One of the speakers there asked the question, if you know who Jesus is and everything he's done for you, why won't you accept him? And this just really sprung out to me, and I went home and thought about it, and I realised I had no reason whatsoever. And the next morning, I made my prayer to God and committed myself to following Jesus. And since then, a big difference in my life is that I can rely on God. Instead of not really knowing who God is or what he wants from me, now I have the Bible to learn all about God and how he wants me to live. Knowing that he has forgiven me for all the things I've done wrong has given me a greater sense of peace and contentment in my life. And I know that whatever happens, God is in control, not me.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to share with you my favourite phrase that pretty much sums up what God has done in my life. It's a phrase from 1 John, that is, we love because he loved us first. I became I had my baptism when I was about 18 years old. That was about 9 years ago by now. That was at a period of time when God's love was revealed to me during a period of struggle in the family, where I had to leave my family, went abroad overseas, pursue my studies, and still be able to honor my duties as a good son, honor my parents, at the same time keep focus and lead a righteous way of life. And I thank him for those period of years where he had provided me guidance through that. As time moved on, I undertook my studies in architecture and also came into this social circle of a rather adventurous mix, being in the arts primarily. I'd say in retrospect, their perspectives of lives were more concerned with a worldly pursuits, and God wasn't in the picture, so that was an idol on one hand. And in the meantime, I was doing quite well in architecture, to the point where I derive from architecture a perfection that I expect from myself, that I expect for me to deliver to my friends, at the same time for my friends to deliver to me as well. And that whole dynamics didn't quite work out, to a point where everything just crashed. Slowly but surely, I've stopped going to church, and I basically turned myself away from God. 5 years later, back in August 2006, which was last year, when I had a calling to come back to church, that was when I first found the barge. I came with a friend and joined a fellowship group, to which then I start learning about God's word again, and slowly but surely, his word has transformed my life. It was in a sermon in October by Marcus on Revelations chapter 2-3, where God calls for repentance of some of the churches. That poses a challenge for me personally, just like the Church of Ephesus, which was one of those that's been criticized. I basically forgot God's first love for me. I felt ashamed. I felt that I had a lot of burden carried behind my back in turning away myself from God. And I could not face him anymore because of all of my wrongdoings for him. And I was at a loss at that point in time and did not quite know what to do. God gave me the answer eventually during that night itself. Whilst I was fast asleep, in a split moment, there was a huge word of repentance just appearing beyond the size of my peripheral vision could fit. Within that split second as well, the loudest voice shouting, "Repent, repent, repent," 3 times, just echoed through, and I basically woke up from sleep, feeling very terrified but powerless to move. You would have thought that someone would be smart enough to know what's going on, but nope, a split second later, I fell asleep again. It was only under 2 days later when I related that event to a friend that the same feeling possessed me again, a feeling of being really terrified, being really scared, and my whole body shivered, tears suddenly flowed, and then only it came to me that that was really God's calling for me to repent. I rushed home, prayed a prayer of repentance, submit to him all my wrongdoings, asked him for his ever merciful forgiveness on me again, just like a lost sheep. He answered my prayers that very second. All the burdens that I felt in the past 5 years when I had strayed from the church were immediately lifted off my shoulders, and in it I can find peace in my heart. The next few months after that was a gradual transformation, but what I realized from that was that perfection that I had long sought for, derived not from myself, not from my thinking or even from humans' perception of what it could be, but really the only one perfect source that could have come from is God himself. And also in my actions on a day-to-day basis, on what I see being an ideal has also been transformed. Where I have become more obedient as a servant to the point that being obedient to God's word would allow him to actually reveal his plans for us, his best plans for us, and in that way as well, I find peace in my heart knowing that he has his best plans for us, and we just need to be obedient and wait. Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
I was born in South Africa and grew up with my mother, who isn't Christian. However, I learnt about the Bible and God from my grandmother, and who is Christian, but sometimes distorts the truth with voodoo and stuff. But in anyways, I also went to a Catholic school, so I had the basic knowledge of who Jesus was and who God was. But I did not live according to this truth. So I lived as a non-Christian all my life, making up rules as I went along, and also living for my own selfish pleasures. Until 3 years ago, one day, I just could not bear to look at what I had become. I guess my emotions caught up with me. I was suddenly aware of the sin and the futility of the life I was leading. And this happened overnight, and I felt God calling me from this life I was leading. I was in Johannesburg at the time, and I started remembering about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. Right then, I knew I wanted to become a Christian. Then I went to a convent that was nearby where I lived, and I found these nuns. I was a bit hysterical, but they tried to calm me down because I was realizing God's holiness and righteousness at that point. And I had to make a conscious decision about turning to Christ, and I started asking him to forgive me for my sins and asking to be a Lord, to be the Lord of my life. So I started to go to church with these nuns for like 3 weeks or so. But then I realized perhaps I wasn't learning the truth, or I wasn't learning about Christ, because this time, I think the last time I went there, I had to follow this guy who had a statue of Mary, and we were chanting this hypnotizing song. Then I realized, no, perhaps this is not for me. So I stopped going to church. So 6 months later, I moved to England, and I was introduced to the barge by a lady from City of Peace. And this is where I've learned a lot about Jesus Christ, my King. And I've come to fall in love with God's law and his will. And there is nothing in my life apart from Jesus and his love. Thank you.
Thank you all very much indeed. Would you like to come and join us again? Do come up again. So back on the sheet. So now that we've heard about what God has been doing in the lives of these three brothers and sisters, people of God, will you uphold them in their life in Christ? In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvellous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask the three of you, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?
I reject them.
Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil?
I renounce them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour?
I repent of them.
Do you turn to Christ as Saviour?
I turn to Christ.
Do you submit to Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ the way, the truth and the life?
I come to Christ.
May God, who has given you the desire to follow Christ, give you strength to continue in the way. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for our fellowship in the household of faith with all who have been baptized into your name. Keep us faithful to our baptism, and so make us ready for that day when the whole creation shall be made perfect in your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So together we pray. Defend, O Lord, these your servants with your heavenly grace, that they may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until they come to your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much.